Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What an awesome morning we're having, aren't we? In the presence of the Holy Spirit, isn't it powerful? What's been shared already through the communion and through the prophetic, and absolutely fantastic. And you know, why wouldn't we want to give this beautiful Jesus who's give his body and give his life for us? Like all that, what CQ was saying through the communion there, why wouldn't we want to give him absolutely everything of us, all of our life, everything we are, everything we think we are? Why wouldn't we want to give him everything, 100% of ourselves, and empty ourselves so that he can fill us with his presence? Why wouldn't we want to do that? Beautiful Jesus, give everything for us, and he wants everything from us. And this morning, what I want to speak about is basically how less is more, how less of us is more of God. And there's a scripture I want to read from in John chapter 3. You can read it with me if you brought your Bibles. And I'll just pray just as you turn there. Thank you, Jesus, for this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your wonderful love for us. Thank you, Jesus, for your awesome power that you give us, Lord. Thank you for your blood that marks us, that covers us, that washes us, white as snow. Thank you, Father, for absolutely blessing us this morning through your word, through your touch, through your Holy Spirit. And we just open ourselves now to receive from you. Please come and meet with each and every single person sat in this room. Speak to each and everybody exactly what they need to hear from you, Lord. Let nothing disturb or distract your word to people, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, this is John the Baptist's testimony about Jesus from John 3, verse 27. To this, John replied, "A man can only receive what is given him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but I'm sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all." And what I really want to look at this morning is that particular verse that says, he must become greater, I must become less. Now obviously, God is absolutely perfect and awesome and great. And all of his greatness is perfect, his holiness, his righteousness, his glory. He's God. He is. And he is perfect. And there's nothing you or I can do or undo to make him any greater. But what I want to speak about this morning is how by us emptying ourselves, he can be seen to be greater in our life, and he can, his goodness and his great things can be manifest and more obvious in our life as well. Does that make sense? So less is more. Less of us is more of Jesus, just like John was saying there. You know, in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul talks about treasure, this treasure of the Holy Spirit of Jesus being hidden in earthen vessel. We have Jesus hidden in our bodies. You know, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, this earthen vessel, this flesh, this body. He dwells within us in this earthen vessel, in this flesh. And the question is that, you know, what do you see? Or what do other people see when they see us? Do they see lots of earthen vessel, lots of our flesh, lots of us and our ideas and our opinions and our stuff? Or is it more of Jesus that people see? And this morning, I think the Holy Spirit wants to challenge us in a few different areas, you know, sort of prophetically, really, of how we can be empty ourselves, how we can become less, so that the greatness of God can be more manifest in our life to others and for us as well. All of his goodness, all of his great things. So we want to be less concerned for ourselves, less focused on ourselves and less aware of ourselves, so that God can just be seen to be greater, be manifested greater and have a greater presence and a greater influence in our life. You know, in the Gospels in Matthew, there's a parable of the pearl. It says a merchant goes out looking for pearls, looking for fine pearls. And when he finds one of great value, he sells everything. He sells everything and buys the pearl. You know, over and over again, through all the Gospels, Jesus' teaching is very clear. Follow me, give up everything. Follow me, give up everything. Over and over again, he speaks it to different people in different situations. Leave your homes, leave your nets, leave your families. To the rich young man, he says, the rich young man says to Jesus, what must I do to, you know, to follow you, to have eternal life? And Jesus says, well, sell everything. Everything. Yes, everything. Sell everything. And we must do the same. We must become less. Less of our opinions, our ideas, of our flesh, of our worries, of our concerns for ourselves, our focus on ourselves, our awareness of ourselves. Less of self, less of flesh, less earthen vessel. So the glory of God and the greatness of him can be more manifest in our life. And also we'll receive the benefits of that as well. The benefits of that rest and that peace and that joy. Knowing that we're just more free in him. Just like Chris was prophesying. That all these boats, we're each like boats, aren't we? And we like to be tied safely up to the shore. With nice strong ropes and nice, oh, there's a bit of a wave, oh, but it's okay, I'm safe because I'm attached to what I know is safe, and this is my things, and this is right, and this is like all my plans and everything that I know and understand, and I'll take control. I'll look after myself, it'll be okay. Whoa, it's a bit ropey, but I've got my protection there, and this is... But actually, God wants us to let go. Just to let go and move into faith, move into trusting him, move into being less of ourselves. So the first one I want to speak about is how we can... should be less concerned for ourselves, so that the multiplication of God's goodness in our life can be more manifest. And I just want to read a scripture for this from John 12, verse 23, 25. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Absolutely awesome. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, obviously. He was the seed of seeds. And when he fell to the ground, when he went to the cross and died, the multiplication of salvation for everybody and anybody who wants it is available. And obviously that's in the context of what it's speaking about. But prophetically, I feel like the Holy Spirit wants us this morning to have a multiplication of peace in our life as well. So the more we surrender to him and give him our life and give him our control and give him all of our plans and be obedient to him and sacrifice what he's asking of us and letting go of what he wants us to let go of, the more peace we'll have in our life, that peace will be multiplied. Would anybody like some more peace this morning? Not just this morning, obviously, but starting from this morning. More and more peace multiplied in your life. I would absolutely love some more peace. More peace is absolutely fantastic. And but we must give him stuff. We must give him our life. And whatever it is he's asking of us. And he will be speaking to us this morning. He will be speaking to you. Specific things. Whatever it is for you, I don't know, but he does. He'll be speaking to you right now. I don't know whether it's money or job or a relationship or... I don't know. Whatever it is that he wants you to let go of, to give to him, to surrender and sacrifice to him. Because unless we do this, how can he bless us more? It's like if my hands are full and I'd like to receive a gift from somebody, but my hands are already full of stuff that I've got and that I want, I can't really receive it very well because my hands are already full. But if I lay some things down, put some things on the floor, put some things behind me, give some things away, let some things completely go, my hands are free to receive what God wants to give me. And it's exactly the same for each of us. So I wonder what you need to give to God this morning. What he wants from you. Because it's only because he wants to bless you more. He absolutely loves each and every single person in this room. He loves everyone in the world, but he loves you right now this morning who sat here. And this is his word to you. And he wants you to just surrender more of your life to him. Just when we think we've surrendered everything, he wants more so that he can give more, more blessing and more peace. I just want to share a little bit of testimony. I became a Christian when I was about 12 or 13. It was the very first time I gave my life to Jesus. But then I very quickly backslid. Usually when you hear somebody's testimony, it's sort of, you know, I was in a really bad place. And then I sort of came to church and I met Jesus and I gave him my life and he saved me. And yes, things have been a bit hard since then maybe, but things have got better and better. I just feel so blessed. That's your usual sort of testimony, what you want to hear. But for me, it was sort of the opposite, really. And I left school at 16 and I joined the army, as many of you know. And but I was backslidden from God. And at 16, I left school and I joined the parachute regiment as an infantry soldier. And this became my whole life. This became my identity. This became who I was. Everything I did was like rewarded with just awesome pride and certificates and medals. And, you know, I did a tour of Northern Ireland when I was 18. My first tour of Northern Ireland when I was 18. Came back and you get a little medal and it's nice and shiny and it has your name on it, your army number. And you think, well, hey. You know, you go through some hard stuff, you know, but then you come home. And then you get showered and you get your suit on and it's like, well, hey, look at me kind of thing. And I was full of myself. And then at 19, I went to Iraq. When I was 19 years old, and the same thing again, you know, it's horrible when you're over there, and then you come back and you get another little medal. Whoa, whoa. It's got your name on it, it's got your army number on it, it's like badged to you, boomf. You think, wow, I'm pretty special. Got these medals, done some stuff. And before that, obviously, you go through your training, and it's like absolutely horrendous, and you do like hard test week and all this kind of stuff. But then you get rewarded again. With a berry, and this is like the maroon berry of the parachute regiment is one of the, it was one of the sort of things that I really wanted to do. It was really special to me at the time, and I passed this thing, and I got my maroon berry with my cap badge on it, and I was, I thought it was awesome, you know, absolutely, just so full of me and things of this world and my stuff. And then I joined the Red Devils, which was a skydiving team, the British Army skydiving team. And things just went better. I got better and better. I got a promotion and I got more money. And I was like really successful at what I did. And we were really good at what we did. And we would travel all over the UK and all over the world skydiving, jumping out of airplanes and recruiting for the Army was what our role was. We'd go to America and always in America, skydiving. And I got another little reward, and I'd done over 1,000 skydives, and I got a little golden ribbon, which I could then add to my medals and my berry. And I would wear this, and I was like, so thought it was fantastic. And I had loads of friends, loads of position, loads of authority, loads of power and status and reputation in that world and everything. And I'd done lots of skydiving tests and passed tests and got qualifications and got certificates, and I could teach it and I could instruct it. And it was just, that was me, that was who I was, that was my life. But the only problem was, the more I went on living like this, the less peace I had, because I was away from God and I wasn't where he wanted me to be. And, you know, maybe this is like you sat here this morning. Maybe you're not quite, maybe you don't quite have peace. Maybe you were in a place in your life where you know you're not supposed to be. Or you're in a position or a relationship or a whatever it is where you know you're not supposed to be, where you know God's got something else for you. And the more it went on for me, the less peace I had, the more restless I was, and everything looked fine on the outside, but on the inside was just real torment, real torment. And the only way was it was ever going to go is if I died to all of that, which is what the Lord asked me to do. Man, it was so hard. You know, I went to a conference in 2007, and I recommitted my life to Jesus from where I was at that time with all this pride and everything and all the stuff that I was doing. I was in the army, and I recommitted my life to Jesus and resurrendered my life to him, and I really meant it. And as soon as I sort of got back to camp, the Lord started speaking to me. I want you to leave everything. Just give it up. All your badges, all your medals, who you are, go, sign off, leave the army. And I'm sort of like, huh? But I don't want to. I mean, look at all the things I've done. Look at this, my friends and my money and my... And it was like 6 months, honestly, 6 months of wrestling with God, wrestling with him. Like, I didn't want to do it. But he kept speaking, just leave. And it was like, oh, it was so hard. But I was so in torment and I had such lack of peace that by the end of the 6 months, I was so worn down. I just thought, oh, whatever. I'll do it. And through the help of the Holy Spirit and by the grace of God only, I managed to sign off that paper. And from that point, it was 1 year notice to leave the army. So it was another journey of another year of surrendering things and sort of dying to that old life and wondering what I was going to do when I left. And people would say, what are you going to do when you leave? And I sort of thought, I don't know. I didn't exactly tell my friends, I've heard God and he's told me to leave. Wasn't quite that in that place, But what was shocking was I'd go to church sometimes and Christians would say, ooh, so what are you going to do now? It was very unhelpful. I thought, thanks, Also, are you a Christian? I didn't know any Christians. I thought, in church, we'll all be the same. We'll all know God. We'll all trust him and do what he says. And some people said, what are you going to do then? I said, well, I don't know. God hasn't told me. I've heard him to sign off. And isn't that what we do? Isn't that how we live? Are you a Christian? And, but it was unhelpful, But I just had this such lack of peace. And after I signed that paper, I started to get peace. Boom. The Lord stopped shouting at me. Leave, sign off, give it all away. That stopped. And I had tremendous peace for the first time in years and years and years. Maybe this is what the Lord wants to give you. He wants you to give him your life because he wants to give you his tremendous peace. Maybe you've been in torment for years. Maybe you've known you've been in the wrong place for a long time. But God desperately wants to give you his peace. And just to encourage you, he's not going to stop wanting from you. He's going to keep speaking to you and keep challenging you and keep wanting from you until you sign your life over to him. In a new way, even as a believer, we can do this. We can sign our life over to Jesus again, die to the things of this world again, so that we can receive his blessing and his peace. Have you ever seen a footballer sat on the bench who's world class, but they sat on the bench? Like Wayne Rooney or someone, for those of you who watch football. You see him sat on the bench and he sort of sat there. And he's trying to put on the face, the brave face. And the camera pans in on him. And they say, whoa, I wonder what's going on behind those eyes. And he's really probably tormented because he's actually not doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's a footballer. He's supposed to be on the pitch playing football. That's where he'll have his peace. And God has a perfect plan for you. He's made you a certain particular way and he has something perfect and particular for you to do. And if you're not doing that, you can put on the brave face all you like, but and only and God knows, that the peace isn't there. And you have to die to yourself, to the things of this world. It's such a hard journey. It was so hard for me to do this. And over the space of another couple of years after I left, I was still giving it away, still surrendering it, selling that skydiving equipment and selling all my helmet cameras and all my skydiving DVDs and certificates and Northern Ireland medal and my medal that I had from Iraq. I just put it in the bin. In the Bible it says, what is highly valuable among men is detestable in the Lord's sight. This was like my little idols. But it's, you know, something you did and remember. Well, I'll remember anyway. I don't need a medal. Just plopped in the bin. Not a special bin even, just the wheelie bin outside. Private Prey, 25121171, Iraq. Do that. So what? So what? What does that mean? What does that mean? Absolutely nothing, you know. So I put it in the bin. And then my logbook where I'd signed all my... every skydive I'd ever done. Skydive I'd ever done was written in there, and where I'd done it and what I'd done and who I'd done it with. And the weather was like and the altitude. I'd all my stickers and photos in there. And as the Holy Spirit led me step by step, he helped me to do this. I could never have done it on my own. And you can never do this on your own with whatever it is you need to do. But the Holy Spirit's help, you can do anything. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. And I just put that in the bin as well. And it was really painful. But actually, you know what? Right now, I have peace. And you know, it doesn't mean I don't get stressed sometimes. I have two little babies, of course I get stressed sometimes. But generally, I have this peace. Whereas I never had it before for years. And the Lord wants to give you peace as well. And I'm sure there's more I'm going to need to surrender, as there always will be for all of us throughout our life. But what is it right now that God wants you to give to him? Because he's desperate to give you gifts. He's desperate to bless your life. He's desperate to give you peace. Because he knows that you're struggling. He knows that you're tormented. And he just wants peace to come into your mind. And obviously, you know, we need to be less concerned for ourselves, so that we can have greater multiplication in our life of peace. Greater multiplication of fruit in our life, in our ministry. You know, Jesus said in that passage, you know, unless a seed, you know, if you want to grow a fruit tree, you plant a seed, you dig some soil up, and you throw a little seed in the floor, and then you bury it with soil. Huh? Can you imagine being that little seed? You get picked up one day. Wow, this is nice. It's like that, isn't it, with the Lord? The Lord picks you up. Oh, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. You're my special seed. Wonderful. Oh, thank you, Lord. Fantastic. Just pop you down in the soil. Huh? What are you doing? What's happening? And then the next thing you know, you see the shovel and soil getting poured on. Oh, what? No! And then you're under. You know, it's like we've died to ourselves. But unless it's planted in the ground and dies and is watered by the Lord, really, it can never grow to be the fruit tree where it's supposed to be. And exactly like Chris was saying, you know, in that prophetic word with them boats, unless we let go of them ropes, the ship's never going to be able to do what it's supposed to do and go out to sea where it's free, where it's fun with the Lord. You know, this happens over and over again to the men of God in the Bible. Obviously, it happened to Jesus, who was the seed of all seeds. Happened to the Apostle Paul when he was blinded for 3 days. Bang! Ugh! Everything he was has just gone. Bumf. You ready? Okay, now, let's see. Carry on. This is who he's supposed to be. Happened to Job in the Old Testament. He lost everything. I'm sure you know his story. He lost absolutely everything. He dies for himself, and then after then, he gets it all back. Jesus says, 100 times you'll receive what you've given up for me in the kingdom. And Joseph, it happened to Joseph. He was like the favorite son, wasn't he? He had this multicolored coat. He was handsome. He was good at everything he put his hand to. Then his brothers took him down a well. Boomf. What? What? And then gets sold into slavery, sent to Egypt, put in prison, and he's slowly surrendering and dying more to himself, until he's ready of the Lord's timing to do what he's supposed to do. And then the Lord massively blesses him when he's fully died to himself. Sort of like he's been put in the oven, God's oven, you know. Puts him in, closes the door, turns the temperature up. He's in prison, you know. God pops down to check, see how he's doing. Opens the oven. You know when you open the oven and all that steam hits you, like that. And then what comes out is, tell Pharaoh about me. Close the oven again. Not quite ready yet. Still a bit of earthen vessel left in there. turn the temperature up. And then, you know, later, Lord's timing, when he's ready, God opens the oven. Ding. Done. It's exactly like that, isn't it, for us? We're on this continual journey of surrendering to the Lord, and he absolutely wants to bless you. So we need to be less concerned for ourselves, less concerned for our life, the things of this world, the things that man values, so that we can receive a greater multiplication in our life of peace, primarily for this morning. And obviously fruit in our ministry, and all the other good things that God wants to bless us with. We'll be less focused on ourselves, less focused on our performance, and more focused on Jesus' performance on the cross and his finished work. You know, it's so easy to be focused on ourselves and how are we doing? How am I doing today? How is it going with my sin? How is it going with my Bible reading? How is it going? How am I doing as a Christian? Am I doing okay? Or up or down, depending on how we're performing. And actually, it's irrelevant anyway. Because the less focused we are on ourselves, the more focused we can be on God's grace and on his perfection and on his righteousness and on his blood and on everything, on his performance on the cross. So it's irrelevant, really, how we're doing. And we can be focused on Jesus. In the Old Testament, you know, when the worshipper brought a lamb to be sacrificed, the lamb had to be perfect. Its limbs had to be perfect. It had to be totally spotless, without blemish, without spot or wrinkle. That was all that mattered. The lamb was going to be sacrificed. The lamb had to be perfect. No one really cared what state the worshipper was in who brought the lamb, whether he looked good or whether he looked bad. It was about the lamb. Everyone was looking at the lamb. That's what mattered. It's exactly the same with us. We carry Jesus with us, who's our perfect, spotless, blameless, righteous lamb. And he's perfect. And God sees him. When we come to God, God sees the lamb. God sees his son, Jesus, who we carry within us. He doesn't see us or our performance. He totally accepted. However you're feeling, however you're doing, whatever you're struggling with, however much you may be struggling or battling with any sin, however you think you're doing in your own righteousness, it's all irrelevant. When you come before God, you're accepted because of the Lamb and the Lamb only, who's Jesus Christ. So we have to be less focused on ourselves and our performance and how we're feeling. You know, less focused on our feelings to do with this as well. Like Paul was saying this morning about the Passover and the blood was on the doorposts. The blood of the Lamb was on the doorposts of the houses, you know, and the angel of death would pass over when he saw the blood. You know, and it doesn't matter what the person who was inside the house was feeling. They might have felt pretty confident that the blood was on the outside of the door. Yep, I remember putting that blood on the outside of the door. You know, I'm confident it's there. Or maybe they started to second guess whether they did. They did, but maybe they second guessed it. Is the blood there? Has it washed away? Is it there? Am I safe? But actually, it's irrelevant. For someone who was confident or for someone who wasn't sure, it was utterly irrelevant how they felt anyway, because the blood was on the outside of the doorpost, not on the inside. The blood's on the outside, so it's for the Lord to see. And when God looks at you and he looks at me, if you're in Jesus Christ, if you're in this room this morning and you know Jesus, and you've given your life to him, and you've repented of your sin, and you've accepted him into your life to save you, then the blood's on the outside of your heart. The blood marks you, like Paul was saying this morning. The blood of Jesus is on you. You might not be able to see it, but I assure you the Lord can. And whether you feel, am I safe? It's for the Lord to see. You are safe. God sees the blood. God sees the blood of Jesus on your life, if you've given your life to him. If you haven't, then give your life to him. If you're not sure whether you're marked with the blood of Jesus, make sure you don't leave this room this morning without being absolutely sure. Make sure you repent of your sins and give your life to Jesus and ask him to fill you, and he will. And then from that day on, you'll be marked with the blood of the Lamb and you're saved. And no matter how you feel, you're totally accepted and righteous in God's sight, because the Lamb is carried with you everywhere you go. The Lamb of God, Jesus, perfect. We'll be less focused on our performance. We'll be more focused on Jesus' finished performance on the cross. And there's a little side note here. You know, we want to be less focused on how we feel in terms of, like, maybe you feel tired, you know. Maybe you feel really tired. Maybe you've lost your passion. Maybe you've lost your zeal. Maybe you feel like a little smouldering wick. Or maybe you've been so hurt recently, you feel bruised. But it says in the Bible, promise of God, the bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. So if you feel down this morning and defeated and tired and broken and upset for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit wants to breathe on you this morning. He's not going to break you. He might test you and me and challenge us, but he's not going to break us. He's not going to snuff us out. He wants to breathe on us and bring us back to life so that we feel that love again. We feel our first love for him again. We feel that passion for him again. We feel that zeal again. Maybe that's you this morning. God wants to do that for you. And then lastly, we need to be less aware of ourselves. Less aware of ourselves as individual and more aware of the greater good. More aware of the bigger picture. There's a much bigger picture than just you and just me. You know, in Colossians, the Apostle Paul says that our lives are now hidden with Christ in God. Just like that seed under the ground, you know. Our lives are now hidden. Hidden. Something's hidden, you can't really see it. Our lives are hidden with him. And we can be so sometimes, just our flesh, we're just human and we're all the same. And sometimes our natural fleshy tendency is to want to be seen and want to be heard and want to be known. That's just normal for all of us. But actually, we should be less aware of ourselves and just be happy to be hidden. But you're not hidden from God. You may be hidden from people, but you're never hidden from the Lord. The Lord knows exactly where you are. He sees you. You're in his greenhouse. He knows the seed that's planted there. He wants to come in and water it regularly, regularly, regularly for rapid growth. And but we're hidden. We should be happy to be hidden. You know, it's like a big jigsaw. I think we did a jigsaw puzzle last Christmas. Never again. 1,000 piece. We only got to a few pieces. It was a little bit on the outside, and then we were like, man, flipping heck. Just can't do it, you know. Little kids running around stuff. And but you know, you see one piece of the jigsaw, and it just looks like a blob. It just looks like a blue. And that's like, this is like us. We're each a piece of the jigsaw. We're each a piece of the bigger picture, of God's bigger picture. And I'm just a blob, and you're just a blob. But when God puts everything together in his perfect plan, it's a wonderful picture, and everything makes sense, and everything becomes clear. You don't see a little piece of the jigsaw puzzle coming up, do you? If you ever have a jigsaw like this, I want to see this. Where a little piece sort of jumps out. Hey! No, it's supposed to be specifically in a specific place by the Lord, connected to other pieces of the jigsaw for the bigger picture. And I just want to finish with a little story. Less aware of ourselves, more aware of the bigger picture and the greater good, the greater mission. You know, there's an absolute great mission that we're in to advance God's kingdom and his church. And if we're so focused on ourselves, so aware of ourselves, it just can be very discouraging when we're trying to sort of go on the mission with the Lord. You know, the first time that they ever summited Mount Everest was in, like, I think it was 1953, when Edmund Hillary summited Mount Everest. But on that mission, there was the mission leader was a man called John Hunt. And he was the leader. He was in charge of that task, the British expedition to climb Mount Everest, to summit Mount Everest. No one had ever done it before. And they got to a place. Can you put that slide up, please, brother, that first one? I don't know if you need to turn the lights on a little bit, just to see it, just because I thought it was quite interesting anyway. But what happened was, can everyone see that okay? Just to sort of illustrate how the magnitude of this. Skydivers skydive from a height of 12,000 feet, which is lower than Everest base camp. And when they jump out of the aeroplane, they're free falling for about a minute before they even have to open the parachute. But they exit at a height lower than base camp. So this is the sort of scale of this, just purely for interest's sake, I think, nothing else. But and anyway, they go up, they start to climb Mount Everest, this team together, all of them. And they get to what's called the South Col. If you can see it there, the South Col is Camp 4. They get to that height, and at that height, human beings are not supposed to be at that height. When they go above that height, 8,000 metres, which is Camp 4, 8,000 metres, which is called the South Col, when they get to that height, humans, we start to die. I mean, actually starting to die. So if they stay there, they're going to die eventually. So they have to get to Camp 4 and then summit and back quite quick. And they were all up at Camp 4. And can you hit the next one, please? Because this next one is the view from the South Col, from Camp 4 to the summit. So they're there on the South Col and they're sort of resting, but they know they need to get up and back. And they've been there a while, you know, and they're starting to die. And John Hunt, the expedition leader, sends up two guys to try and hit the summit and come back, but they can't do it. They come back, they can't do it. But by that point, because of that and them going and failing, he himself, John Hunt, the expedition leader, has been up there too long, and he's starting to go down big time. He's starting to really suffer. And he realizes that he can't lead the mission like that. He himself has to go down. So he himself, John Hunt, the expedition leader, who could have put himself forward to summit, he's not aware of himself. He's just thinking of the mission. So he himself goes back down the mountain. He looks back up to Edmund Hillary and sends him and another guy up to the top. And he looks back up to him before he goes down and says, leaves him with a part and instructions, never give up. Don't give up. And then he goes down. Edmund Hillary said he looked at John Hunt as he was walking down the mountain. He said he never respected anybody more. He's willing to sort of, whatever it took, you know, he wasn't aware of himself. He was just focused on the mission. I want to see the mission accomplished. Don't give up. We need to be less aware of ourselves, more aware of the greater good. So, you know, I wonder what it is for you this morning. Should we just close our eyes and I'm done? But I wonder what it is for you this morning that the Holy Spirit's speaking to you about, that he wants you to surrender to him. Where you have a lack of peace, where you know God's speaking to you about something, that he wants you to surrender. He'll speak to you now. It's because he wants you to hand over more of your life to him, because he wants to bless you with peace and bless you with fruit and bless you with all of his goodness. He wants you to be less focused on yourself and your performance and your feelings and just totally at peace with his finished work on the cross. Totally focused on his performance and not at all aware of ourselves, but totally focused on the bigger picture. Holy Spirit, please help us all now to do that. Help us to think, to be less of us so that we can glorify you more, Lord, and that we can receive more blessings from you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.